you want to know what the coolest thing in Drax the Destroyer's comic book history actually is, Ashley? Do you know what the coolest, the one single fact that is the most interesting about this Marvel comic book character?
That he's played by Dave Bautista.
Incorrect. It is not his alliteration. It is not his wrestler roots. It is not the fact that he has the Destroyer in his name, because that brings a lot of respect, right? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if your boss was called like Steve the Destroyer? You'd be afraid of him. You would always show up to work on time. No, the most interesting thing about Drax the Destroyer is that he's actually a human. He is from Earth, and we're going to learn all about that, because your geek history lesson on Drax the Destroyer is now in session. So hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson, everybody. I'm Jason Greenskin Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. Welcome to your Mind University, because you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or little green man and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. And today, Jason, why are we talking about Drax?
Well, there's a movie coming out. You might have seen it on some billboards. You might have seen it on some YouTube ads. It's called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Did you ever think we'd get a Volume 3 in that?
I never did.
But we're here. That movie's coming out soon. And a character that is in that movie is Drax the Destroyer, as you said, played earlier by, I'm going to make this claim right now, the best wrestler turned actor, Dave Bautista.
John Cena is currently walking to your home, and he has some words to have with you.
Oh, is he? He's going to break through the wall and, and
he's going to wave his hand. Those are the two things I know about wrestling.
But I'm just saying it right now. If you've seen Mr. Batista's wide plethora of his acting roles, including the James Bond movies and recent M. Night Shyamalan movies, Knives Out even, I'm making the statement right here. He's the best wrestler turned actor. I'm sorry, but he is.
Wow. Did he change the power dynamics of the Marvel Universe? I'm trying to make a Black Adam joke, but I don't remember what The Rock said about it.
Nobody remembers anything about that movie. So it's time to move on and mention that this episode has a lot of special research and writing by our research assistant. Not desistant, assistant.
Desistant. Seasoned assistant.
Our seasoned assistant, Mr. Diego Nunez, and we want to thank him for that. All right, it's time to jump into our 10-cent origin. What is that, Ashley?
That is the first part of the podcast where you are going to take all of the who's its and what's its galores about Drax the Destroyer, who I'm going to call it right now is a Disney princess, and break it all down for us in case people go to a cool GOTG-themed cocktail party and they don't know what's up.
He, of course, is a Marvel Comics character. His first appearance was in The Invincible Iron Man number 55.
Sounds like he's an Iron Man character.
He is an Iron Man character in February of 1973. He was created by Jim Starlin, who also created a lot of the cosmic-y characters, also the inventor of Thanos. His alter ego, his real name, is Arthur Sampson Douglas.
Woof.
He is a human mutate. He is from Burbank, California, just like Johnny Carson. Burbank, California.
Burbank, just like the one Guy Fieri restaurant in Los Angeles County.
Yes, his team affiliations are the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Infinity Watch, the Legion of the Unliving, the Secret Defenders, the United Front, the Nova Corps, and a word that we have not said on this podcast in a very long time that is an old school geek history lesson joke from some of our earlier X-Men episodes in the like 100s and 200s. I'm going to show Ashley a word right now.
I thought you were going to say it was a word that we don't say anymore.
No.
It was like a slur.
No, this is a word that I have been made fun of for a long time.
Oh, no, I know what the word is. You don't even have to show it to me.
And I'm showing it to Ashley.
It's phalanx.
Yes, but as a child reading X-Men comics, I always thought it was phalanx.
Which, honestly, if you're not familiar with,
I also think this sounds better.
German. I believe these are either Germanic or Greco. Yeah. Consonant clusters. Whoever has made fun of you for that can go kick rocks.
Yeah.
That's so rude. No, phalanx is how it's pronounced.
Look, when we were children of the 90s and we did not have the internet and we were reading the comic books, we had just had to make up how things sound. Again, one
Legolas, Aragorn were some of the good ones I remember.
Well, one of the most interesting ones, again, like is just hearing a lot of these said in television shows and movies, and you just hear how the creators decide that this is how it's going to be. And again, we had no way to check that in the 90s. So we just had to make it up. So he is a member of the
Phalanx.
Or the Phalanx, as I like to call it. His abilities, of course.
That should be your super team, yep. The next one that you write.
His abilities are he has superhuman strength. He has superhuman stamina, speed, and reflexes. He is a skilled swordsman and hand-to-hand combatant. He has a power of regeneration. And he has a limited cosmic awareness. All right, now let's get to, some might say, the audience's favorite segment, the Meet Cute.
Where we first meeted and cuted these characters and how cute it was. We stole it from romantic comedy writing. What do you want?
Yes. Now, Diego, our research assistant, because we allow him to give his meet cute when he
comes. We allow him.
Well, yes, we deem him.
We deem him worthy of sharing. Look, his.
We are doing an episode about a Disney princess, Drax the Destroyer. And so this.
Someone please draw that.
This episode is going to have a bit of regality to it. Mm. So this is Duke Diego's meet cute.
Duke, that's a good title.
He said,
high in the court.
My introduction was actually from watching Dave Bautista's performance as the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which might be a lot of people.
It's mine as well. Yeah. I'm not a cosmic-y comics person in general, mm-hmm. With a few exceptions. And I definitely knew nothing about the Guardians before that movie.
Mine was Annihilation, mm-hmm. which was this giant, big Marvel Comics cosmic event, which we will talk about in this episode quite a bit.
We recommend it in literally every single one of our Guardians of the Galaxy episodes.
Oh, full stop.
Because I recently had to, for some reason that people might know, collect them all together.
Full stop. It's the best Marvel cosmic event.
100%. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I think it was like 2008.
And it's actually fairly comprehensible, which is saying something.
Yeah. So if you are looking for more Guardians of the Galaxy talk beyond this podcast, more than this podcast can ever give you, we just want to suggest real quick that you can go to patreon.com/Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. You can support this podcast and listen to all of our bonus podcasts like GHL Extra, where we're going to answer audience questions about Drax the Destroyer that they gave us over on the Patreon. Plus, we also have the Film Footsteps podcast and the Justice League podcast. So you'll get 6 bonus podcasts a month by heading over to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Film Footsteps, Ashley, how would you describe that to any of our listeners if they don't know what that is?
Film Footsteps is a look at the film industry through the lens of Jason and Ashley. We look back at films that inspired us creatively. We tell you where we were when we first saw them, we watch them. We have a spiritual experience doing so. And then we talk about how its influence has been shared.
There you go. It's the closest.
It's really fun.
It's the closest we'll ever have to a true movie review podcast, even though we also review nerdy movies on that. We review geeky movies on this podcast.
But, right. Let's get the branding right. It's geek.
There you go. So it's the perfect way to support us over there, explore the Mind University, get ad-free episodes, and also check out our very rad Patreon exclusive Discord. So thanks to all our super friends that do that, and come join us if any of that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to History 101 of Drax the Destroyer, the newest Disney princess.
That is the main meat of the lesson, where Professor Jason is going to break down everything you need to know about Drax the Destroyer. A very nice person online said, but I'm vegan. And in response to that, and then that, we always said the main meat of the lesson. And I said, maybe it's Satan. Maybe it's soy girls. It's meat. It's whatever meat means to you, my friend.
We're just looking for alliteration here.
That's right. We can be tofurky. We're cool.
I'm welcome to another M word. You can keep the alliteration. If you can keep the alliteration, I'm okay. If you can give me that word, I will happily substitute. Mm-hmm. So I leave that in your care.
And I will say, I'm sorry I don't remember using it, but they were very sweet about it.
Okay.
Right. But I was like, it's fine. We're having soy curls tonight.
Okay. All right.
Teach me about Drax.
Yes. So we're on Earth, of course.
In Burbank.
And so is... so
12 miles away.
No, actually, we're not. and so is Arthur Douglas, remember Drax. After a trip from Las Vegas, driving through the Mojave Desert on that terrible freeway, Arthur Douglas and his wife, Yvette, and their daughter, Heather, witness an alien scout ship surveying the planet.
Mm-hmm.
This ship was piloted by none other than Thanos, the Mad Titan, who was looking to place a bet on the New York
Knicks.
Yeah, sure.
Rangers?
No, the Rangers. There are no New York Rangers.
Yes, there are. It's the hockey team.
Oh, is it? Really?
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking.
Wayne Gretzky played for them for years and years and years.
Sorry, my head was purely in basketball. I apologize. And I apologize to Thanos, who obviously wanted to place a bet on the New York Rangers. So not only is he obsessed with sports betting, he's also obsessed with jewelry and gauntlets. He is, you know, from... Titan, of course.
he's chintzy.
Yep. Thanos saw their car, targeted the family, and blew it up.
He was like, these people seem happy. I want them to die.
Yep. However, two things happen. One being that Arthur's daughter, Heather, survived the attack.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up wandering the desert. And eventually she was found by Mentor, who is actually the father of Thanos.
Sure.
Yep. She was raised by monks in an intergalactic monastery, and she eventually became the Marvel Comics character Moondragon.
Oh, I know who Moondragon is.
So we'll get to a little bit more of that eventually. Oh. So for a very destructive car crash, two characters survive it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is some real comic book nonsense.
It's very cosmic-y.
Yeah.
The second thing about this car crash, the second survivor, being that Mentor was so fearful of his son taking control of their home planet Titan, that Mentor spoke to his father, Kronos, a cosmic being who can exert control over souls of the deceased.
Not over time. His name is Kronos.
Nope.
And I have notes, Marvel Comics.
Well, there also would be lots of notes of like, why are all these aliens living in a very Greek-inspired mythology planet that is just orbiting Jupiter?
Yeah.
Anyways, Kronos took a hold of Arthur Douglas's soul, and he created a new being molded with superhero powers and a permanent lust for vengeance towards Thanos.
Hot.
And thus, Drax the Destroyer was created.
Why didn't he just go by Arthur Darvill instead of Drax?
Arthur Darvill? That's the actor. That's Arthur Rory. Douglas.
No, now he's Arthur Darvill.
Are you saying that Doctor Who actor and Legends of Tomorrow actor Arthur Darvill is secretly Drax the Destroyer?
Star of Oklahoma on the West End playing Curly Arthur Darvill? Yes, I am.
Oh, my vengeance for Thanos is so bright. I don't know.
Oh, what a brutal morning.
Yeah. Oh, what a vengeful morning. Yes. Yeah. Oh, what a day for killing.
I've got a beautiful feeling.
I'm going to snap Thanos' neck.
That's for all the musical theater nerds listening.
Ashley, what do we think about
Arthur Darvill?
No. What do we think about Arthur Douglas and this origin? Let me ask you this. Do you think this is something the MCU could have gotten away with live action? Let's just talk about let's talk about the Earth connection, not the resurrection and stuff like that. Or do you think that he benefits that he is just an alien dad who, very similar, whose family was killed by Thanos?
Man, the international implications of this question.
The international? What?
I'm
he's American from Burbank. How is this international?
Well, because it's intergalactic, I suppose.
Okay, yeah.
We use the phrase comic booky nonsense a lot on this podcast. And there's a line where comic booky nonsense is great. And there's a line where comic booky nonsense is just nonsense. This is just nonsense. I think the MCU did a really smart job at not doing this.
I should reiterate as well. I got this actually confused. It's actually that Ronan the Accuser in the first movie directly murders his wife and child.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But he was ordered to do that by Thanos.
So he's trying to get to Thanos. Yeah. Yes, you're correct. Mm-hmm. The less said about the MCU, Ronan the Accuser, the better. And I love Lee Pace. I think the MCU, this seems to be the case with all the Guardians of the Galaxy characters, did a really good job just taking the name and the vague look of this character and slimming down everything else about them. I think...
Movie Drax actually looks nothing like comic book Drax.
No, in fact, they've changed comic book Drax to look like movie Drax now. But I mean, like Gamora, for example, is green, but she's not exactly the same as Zoe Saldana.
Drax, so this is something I'm not really going to touch about in this lesson. Mm-hmm. When Drax is first introduced, he is kind of a skinny dude with green skin, and he sort of has a purple cow and he has a purple cape.
Yeah.
And it is not until the event Annihilation that he becomes this big,
hulked out,
bulky dude with like red stripes all over. He's still green skinned and he has red stripes, but that is the look that the movie took. And instead of green, which I understand because Gamora is also green,
he's got an off green gray. Yeah.
But they made him gray with red stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, overall, I think at least the decision to make him a father of alien descent versus a dude from Burbank.
Yes.
It was probably smart.
It's a much simpler origin.
Yeah. If it was not part of the larger MCU and we were just telling the Guardians of the Galaxy was just a thing that existed in its own pocket, maybe I would have been like, oh, you should have gone back. But I think for what they were trying to achieve as a movie studio building a universe, I think they made a smart choice.
Now, Drax had all of his memories of his former life suppressed to focus solely on his mission to destroy Thanos. Although mostly he's barely successful when it comes to killing Thanos, but he does have a tendency to, like, you know, throw a little stick in Thanos's bicycle wheel, if you understand my meaning. Thanos sought during this time to control the cosmic cube. It's an object that controls matter and energy based on the will of whoever controls it. It's kind of like a Green Lantern ring. It has been renamed in the MCU as the Tesseract.
Yep.
Is this cube that glows with Jack Kirby sparkly dots.
Yep.
Now, the plan was for Thanos to use the cosmic cube to wish away Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Drax, and Moondragon, because they all had been annoying Thanos during the 70s.
That's really funny.
And hopefully that would confuse the rest of Avengers on how to stop Thanos from like taking over the galaxy and everything.
Uh-huh.
But real quick, I want to explain, he's been talked about in this podcast several times, Captain Marvel. This is Captain, it's Captain Marvel.
We explain this every single time we talk about him.
He's a very confusing character.
Yes.
But it's Captain Mar-Vell.
That's his name.
He's a member of the Kree race. This is the alien humanoid warrior race. Sometimes they're blue. They're the second of the two bright color aliens Marvel loves to use, the Skrulls and the Kree. Carol Danvers gets all of her powers and stuff from the Kree in the MCU universe and in the current Marvel Comics continuity, if that makes sense to you. Now, Thanos, with the Cosmic Cube, became very godlike, and he eventually overwhelmed Drax. Drax tried to fight him, couldn't handle him. So Drax enlisted the help of the Avengers to help him fight the Mad Titan. During this battle, Thanos continually played mind games, unlocking Drax's suppressed memories of his death and all his human life and the lovely town of Burbank and how exactly he came to be. And this only strengthened how much Drax wanted to kill Thanos. Together with Captain Marvel, this team of Avengers slash Captain Marvel slash Drax defeated Thanos, but Captain Marvel actually got the killing blow on Thanos, robbing Drax of his ultimate purpose. This led Drax to face an existential crisis. He started aimlessly wandering through space, trying to figure out what does he do now that Thanos is dead.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah, do I get a job? do I join the Kree military complex? Should I buy an Arby's franchise?
Do I start a Bookstagram?
I mean, should I start a TikTok where like the world where there's no people around and it shows off my VFX skills? Is that something I should do?
Timely reference. Timely to what we were just into.
Drax and Marvel eventually cross paths again, and he is very resentful of what Marvel did, and Drax starts a fight with him. And as the two battle, Marvel's favorite hang-arounder, Rick Jones, is able to show Drax that Thanos is actually alive and where to locate him. So he's like, hey, Drax, it's okay. You still got somebody to kill.
I won't confuse him with Donald Blake this time.
I love doing this. Ashley, can you briefly describe to our audience who is Rick Jones in case they don't know?
Rick Jones is this weird redheaded kid who kind of just hangs around the Avengers their help. Helper monkey.
He's a brunette.
He's there. Is Snapper Carr a redhead?
You're confusing both with Jimmy Olsen.
He's their Snapper Carr. As Snapper Carr is the Justice League.
Yeah. The easiest way to remember, yes, he's kind of this.
Rick Jones is the Avengers.
Kind of the weird sidekick of the Marvel Universe, especially in the 60s and 70s. But his most important role is that he is the kid in the trench that the Hulk saves from the gamma bomb.
I never remember that. And you bring this up every single time. And I'm like, oh yeah.
That is where he started. He is Bruce Banner's best friend who was in the trench. Why was Bruce Banner friend with a 14-year-old? Move past it.
Does he have red hair? We'll never know.
But because he throws Rick Jones to the side, he takes the full gamma bomb. That's what turns him into the Hulk.
Rick Jones would have died.
Yes. But Rick Jones is basically the sidekick to like every
all of the Avengers. Yep. Yeah.
So because Drax heard this, he's like, I still got somebody to kill. Yay. And so he goes back.
That your Drax is a Muppet.
Yay. I'm Drax the Destroyer. Yay. So he goes back on the trail of his never ending quest to destroy Thanos. And meanwhile, the Avengers were actually fighting Thanos at this very moment because Thanos had a new plan with a new cosmic thing. He was planning to use the Soul Gem to destroy our solar system and beautiful Burbank. Now, you know of these. One of the six Infinity Gems, they grant their users control over reality. According to the most commonly accepted origin story, the six gems actually were part of an all-powerful cosmic being who committed suicide out of loneliness,
oh my God.
And its power survived and manifested as six gems. Now, specifically the Soul Gem, and I'm going to tell you about this because the Soul Gem is actually connected to Drax the Destroyer's story. Mm. The Soul Gem is sentient. It has a desire to connect, collect souls. Somebody in possession of the Soul Gem can use it to attack another soul in various ways. It can reveal information, or it can use the cold light of truth. And the gem can trap souls inside of itself in an idyllic world named the Soul World. We saw a version of this.
I was going to say, yeah.
In Avengers Infinity War, where in the scene where we saw at the very end of the movie where Baby Gamora asked Thanos, was it worth it? That is Soul World.
Yes. And in the MCU, the Soul Gem is the Orange Stone.
Yes. And there's a deleted scene, actually, in mm-hmm. Avengers Endgame, the sequel to that movie, where Tony Stark has a conversation with his future daughter in Soul World. Mm. Go Google it. It's a nice scene. I think it's well written. I think it.
You think it was right to cut it?
It's right to cut it.
Yeah.
Because audiences would have been like, who is this grown woman? But it was supposed to be like Tony's daughter. Like, but that is the
okay, they did the same thing to Cassie.
It's also secretly a way, wink,
to bring,
wink, to bring
back.
Tony back. Yeah. If we show that like Tony's soul is inside the Soul Gem, it's a way to be like, oh, he's still around.
Yeah. Also, if you've already forgotten that Tony is the voice of Riri's AI.
Yeah. But then they cut it. Is Soul World.
Yeah.
Okay. The Soul Gem battle ended eventually with Thanos being turned into solid granite by Adam Warlock, who is a cosmic character that will be very important in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
I'm sure we will inevitably get around to.
Yeah, yes. So, Ashley, I want to ask you, this could apply to Thanos or Drax. Do you think characters with single objectives are compelling storytelling, or do you think a character needs to be, you know, a bit more substantial than that?
Multifaceted.
Like Drax's only storyline is, I want to kill Thanos.
Well, comics are the perpetual second act, so you can never move past your goalpost. You just have to shift your goalpost and realign your goalpost. Mm-hmm. I would argue in the purest literary sense that your character should only have a single goal, right? Batman's goal is to defeat crime.
Mm-hmm.
It manifests per the story in various ways, whether that's fighting Hush, whether that's fighting the Joker, whether that is freeing Gotham from the police state that it's under. But it all kind of has to go back to that. I think what you should be asking, which sounds ruder than I intended to, is like, is it interesting enough if a character is just on a revenge quest? Because revenge is very singular and it's a very negative emotion. It's driving towards something that's not positive. Like, even though, again, to go to the Batman example, like Batman is driving towards something that if he was able to achieve it would ultimately be positive. Drax is driving towards the death of somebody, which whether or not that character deserves it narratively is not a positive thing. And it can make a character like Drax or like Thanos hard to empathize with, and revenge quests are hard to get behind after a while. And because,
especially with a character that keeps coming back from the dead.
And because these characters are in this perpetual second act where nothing can really change, the revenge quest
actually truly die.
Yes, gets old after a while. So I think that's the reason why when you look at Drax in particular, and I'm sure we'll have a version of this discussion in a bit, you don't see a lot of growth or change or dynamic personality in this character, which works in a movie because he can be the yuck yuck guy, but it's again harder in long form comic storytelling.
Agree. It's something that I actually just
thank you for coming to my lecture.
It recently reminded me, this is very timely reference, but in one of the most recent seasons of Star Trek Picard, there is a line from Captain Picard where he talks about the character Data and how he was like, well, I've watched him die twice.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Yeah.
You're like, what? Okay. Anyways.
Let Picard go to bed. He's tired. He's old.
Just let the man retire. Anyways. And let Thanos stay dead.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, in my opinion, particularly because of the influence of the MCU, I think Thanos, like the Joker, should go to bed for 10 years and then come back out of the toy box in a little bit.
Well, let's let Drax go back to Burbank. Yes. Now, Drax comes across a seemingly abandoned space station.
I bet it's not.
And he investigates it in hopes to find leads to Thanos' whereabouts. And this is where he sees the granite statue of Thanos.
I'm glad they picked granite. At least they picked a nice hard stone.
Now, obviously, Drax immediately thinks that Captain Mar-Vell was responsible because Captain Mar-Vell punched him to death the last time.
Sure.
So he's like, oh, it must be Captain Mar-Vell, of course. So Drax traveled back for the first time back to Earth to carry out his vengeance, but against Captain Mar-Vell.
Why did he just smash the statue into a billion little pieces?
Because then Thanos couldn't come back for the third time.
I know.
So the two have an ongoing battle. Mar-Vell tries to explain exactly what happened, that Thanos turning into granite was an incident, and that Drax is blinded by pure rage. And soon, Drax will be blinded by the power of AI. And we're going to learn exactly what this means right after this. And we're back. GHL on Drax the Destroyer. Mar-Vell versus Drax. They're on like Donkey Kong.
I love the idea that in the 1980s, Captain Mar-Vell fed a bunch of images of Drax into an AI, and that somehow hurt his feelings. I don't know. You just said AI.
Well, we're going to talk about AI.
I'm reaching for the joke.
So Mar-Vell and Drax are just beating on each other on Earth until Isaac, the integral synaptic anti-anionic computer, basically a supercomputer that controls the interior of the planet Titan, the homeworld of Thanos.
Sure.
Gets in contact with both of them, asking for assistance. Beep, 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 beep. Hello, Drax and Captain Mar-Vell.
Are you called Isaac because you tried to kill your son on top of a mountain?
Correct.
Timely reference.
So despite Thanos being gone, Thanos' armies and his forces still have a stronghold on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
And Captain Mar-Vell and Drax set aside their differences for the sake of destroying Thanos' legacy. However, Drax does make sure to tell Captain Mar-Vell that he's like, look, we're going to go do this thing, but as soon as it's over, I'm a coming for you.
Oh my God.
And then I'm going
to
buy...
They're like exes who decide to hook up for a night and then are like, we're never going to talk about this again.
Yeah. Yep. It is soon revealed to be a trap because AI, of course. And
AI is always a trap.
And Isaac has been corrupted by Thanos.
Of course he has.
As a failsafe in the event of his death.
Sure.
And for the plan now is that the two of them have to, you know... They basically have to destroy Isaac because Isaac's plan now is that he's like, well, I'm going to complete Thanos' plan. I'm going to take over Earth. I'm going to destroy Earth.
Sure.
So when Drax and Mar-Vell arrive on Titan, they quickly learn that, again, it's all a trap. Mm. They have to survive. They fight some giant spiders and some large snakes. It was the 70s. Just go with it.
Great.
And they form an alliance with a character called Alesius.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ashley, based on where this story has gone right now.
Sure.
Who do you think Alesius is?
Someone else who wants to kill Thanos.
No, she is another AI.
Oh, my bad.
But she is a sentient computer system AI that was created by Isaac, who is actually good, of course.
Sure.
But she has taken the form of a humanoid woman.
Of a hot lady, of course.
And weird question, what do you think was up in the water of New York City that all the Marvel Comics writers in the 60s and the 70s were obsessed with female androids, because there are a lot of them in Marvel Comics in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
What do you think about the hot, like, sensual robot lady with curves? What is this?
You know, maybe this is a reflection of a post-Metropolis generation of creators who always had something out for that lady on the poster.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was all the poison in the Bed-Stuy water that drove all the dolphins out of there. I don't know. That's interesting because, you know, I've done some research recently on some lady Guardians of the Galaxy and that are not all of them are aliens. And they also, all three of them have very similar stories. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The sexy robot ladies, that's really interesting.
There's a lot of them. There are a lot of them.
No, but now that you bring it up, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. Jim Starlin? Steve Englehart? I got questions.
Maybe we should. Okay, if anybody's going to go to a comic book convention, is Jim Starlin still alive? I honestly don't know.
I'll Google it.
Will you Google it real quick?
50-50.
I think he is. I think he's still alive. I'm gonna put it out there that he has a sentient AI system keeping him alive. That's my prediction.
The autofill is Jim Starlin still DuckTales? The other autofill is, what is Jim Lee doing now?
Drawing, of course. Come on.
I think he's still alive.
Or counting his money. That's what
Yeah, James P. Starlin.
Oh, cool.
Was at San Diego Comic-Con 2 years ago. He's still alive. He's 73 years old. And lives in...
Burbank?
The internet doesn't say.
He lives in Burbank.
He was born in Michigan.
He lives in Burbank.
Sure, he lives in Burbank.
Drax's favorite home. I'm going to say that Jim Starlin, if anybody's going to a convention with Jim Starlin recently, just ask him, hey, what was up with all the sexy robot babes of the 70s?
Yeah.
Let's hear his answer. Please email it to us at geekhistorylesson@gmail.com.
And then ask him about writing Death in the Family and killing Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm. So, Alesius, sexy robot lady, that's good.
Yes.
Her pets. Yes, she has pets.
Are they kitties?
They're like alien pets.
That's no fun.
So they take an immediate liking to Marvel. And Eliseus takes that as a sign of comfort because, of course, oh, she finds him attractive.
She needs her body to be comforted, yep. I understand.
And so she decides to help Drax and Captain Marvel purge Isaac of Thanos' failsafe and restore him back to his former self, which actually ends up being successful. So Isaac is now normal again, and he's a boring computer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, throughout this journey, Marvel has placed himself in several life-threatening situations in order to save Drax. And reflecting on that nobility, Drax respects Marvel now. And it's just like, you know, I probably am not going to just punch you in the face until you die now.
That's pretty mature of him.
So I think so. So Drax sets out to explore the universe to think about how he could be Drax the creator instead of Drax the destroyer.
That's when he launches his YouTube channel.
Yes. Unfortunately, he finds it to be fruitless as he was created to destroy. And his simple mind actually doesn't understand anything beyond that. So he's bored.
Like starting a YouTube channel.
Yes. So again, Drax's motivation, we talked about this, is revenge.
Yeah.
But the comics do differentiate that his lust for revenge is something that is imprinted on him by those that created him. As opposed to the movies where he's self-motivated. Mm. So what do you think makes a better character for Drax? Do you like this idea that he is just like, I have chosen to be revengeful? I am forced to be revengeful and I can change.
It gives him more agency if he chooses it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do something where a character has to do something against their will, they either have to, and this comes to mind because I just finished reading the first book in this series, but if you're going to do the Shadow and Bone where you're going to incept an idea into someone's brain, they have to eventually come to that realization and decide if they're going to ally themselves with it or not. Or you're really making them debilitatingly stupid or ignorant to not be able to parse out what's happening to them, and that makes them hard to root for.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more interesting to have it be Drax's choice,
mm-hmm.
but because I know to this day Drax has never really moved past this, I sort of don't know to what end.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Fine.
So again, Drax out in the universe.
Yep,
floating around. He's bored. He's trying to move past this.
Yep.
And he comes across a group of giant space jellyfish.
Okay.
Like from Star Trek.
I love it.
Yeah.
I would love to meet a space jellyfish.
They're all huddled.
If you're a space jellyfish, come be on GHL.
Yeah. They're all huddled together and then go to a convention and ask Jim Starlin, what's up with all the sexy robot ladies?
And ask him about killing Jason
Todd. Well, these space jellyfish, they warn him that if he doesn't leave, they will destroy him. And taking that invitation with such stride, he attacks these creatures.
Oh, no.
In the hopes that they will kill him because he's so bored because he has nothing to do. Since Thanos is, you know, a statue of granite.
That is a bit dramatic.
Yeah. One of the space jellyfish, as I shorten it to,
mm-hmm.
attaches itself onto Drax and they possess him. Moondragon,
yes.
Drax's human daughter,
yeah.
feels this disturbance in the force and rushes out to find him drifting in space.
Best eyebrows in the Marvel Universe.
Yep. And with Thor's help, Moondragon tries to help her father recover. Now, we should explain what has happened to Drax's daughter that has turned her into Moondragon and what this means. So remember, Thanos blew up their car.
Yep.
Drax got resurrected because Drax actually died.
Yep.
Heather just kind of wandered the desert until she was picked up by Thanos' dad.
Daddy Thanos.
Now, she was taken to Titan,
mm-hmm.
Thanos' home planet, and she was raised by the Shaolorn monks in their monastery on mm-hmm. Titan. While there, she studied the Titan's ways and disciplines and perfected her physical prowess, and she actually was able to unlock a latent psychic potential. This is why Drax is considered to be a mutate, because his daughter had latent powers.
Yeah.
Using her powers and finishing her formal studies, she eventually became the powerful sorceress and sort of space
sexy villainess
babe,
yeah.
called Moondragon.
Yeah, sometimes good, sometimes bad.
Yep. When Drax wakes up, he goes berserk due to Moondragon and Thor having the nerve save him.
Mm-hmm.
And he declares that he will keep destroying until somebody destroys him.
That's some Daniel Craig, James Bond. How dare you bring me back to yep. life?
So again, he says, I'm just going to just destroy everything until somebody destroys me.
At least this has been up to his name.
Thor's response to this is to knock him over the head with Mjolnir and knock him out.
I was going to say to hit him right in the face.
Yep, he bonks him on the head and knocks him out. That's literally Thor's response.
Thor's so dumb.
Yep.
I love him.
And fortunately, that move is so powerful.
He's got Mjolnir, of course.
That it also knocked the space jellyfish connected to him unconscious, and it just falls off.
Okay, I also, I really like the space jellyfish because, one, I find jellyfish whimsical and delightful, but two, this is so obviously a piss poor ripoff of Starro. Mm-hmm. That's really funny.
Yep. After this, Moondragon decides to go with Drax on an intergalactic road trip together to help Drax find his purpose.
Yeah.
And they come upon the planet Babani, a world of humanoid aliens that were actually in the middle of a civil war. Now, Moondragon decides to use her mental powers to settle the conflict and enforce peace. But she gets drunk on her own power, and she accidentally props herself up as the goddess of the planet. Deeply troubled by this, Drax sends a distress signal to the Avengers to help stop his daughter from all this mental abuse. And as Drax and the Avengers gather together in an effort to stop his daughter's reign, she retaliates by attacking Drax's mind. She accidentally overwhelms him and effectively kills him. And the Avengers eventually are able to subdue her. And Thor takes her to face the repercussions of her actions, and she's actually put on trial by Odin himself in Asgard.
Oh, that's cool.
And while the rest of the Avengers create a shuttle to place Drax's body in, they sort of give him a space Viking funeral. They send it into space to self-destruct. It blows up, but of course, no one stays dead in comics, of course. So he's not dead for long. Because years later, Thanos comes back.
Oh, thank goodness I missed him.
And we did. We all missed him. He was resurrected yet again by the Mistress of Death. And Kronos.
He do love death.
Yep. And Kronos, remember the first person that resurrected
his
Drax.
Grandfather.
Yep. Resurrects Drax again to combat Thanos. Now, I want to take the opportunity to spotlight this. This rivalry between Thanos and Drax. Do you like it? Do you hate it? Because, you know, Marvel is trying to set them up as these two powerful beings in this immortal battle.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, since Drax never gets, this is twice now that Drax has not been able to get the killing blow, it's very uneven.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about this Drax, Thanos v. Drax, Dawn of Destruction?
Well, Thanos kind of has this interesting position where Thanos and Galactus have to sort of be all things to all Marvel superheroes.
Or they've become that later in years now.
Yes, that's how I think of them as somebody who only started reading comics in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. They've always kind of been these looming enemies of kind of everybody. So it becomes a super basic choice to have Drax, his whole thing, be like, I'm going to kill Thanos, who we, the audience, know is an unkillable foe.
Yeah.
You know, he's literally tilting at windmills at this point.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you think, from based on your knowledge from the comic books, if you could pick one person to be Thanos's antithesis or Thanos's, like, direct hero?
Foil, yeah.
Who do you think is? I don't think it's Drax.
You don't think it's Drax for Thanos?
No. I don't think it's Drax, especially since Drax is not. I honestly think it's Captain Marvel.
I get, yeah.
Also, or Adam Warlock.
I'm not super knowledgeable about Adam Warlock because, you know, if you've been listening long enough, full disclosure, like, cosmic-y Marvel's not my jam. Yeah.
He's a cosmic guy that fights Thanos a lot.
I think I've only read one Adam Warlock story. Like, if it's not an alien being or a being that, whether they're human or not, comes from outer space, I guess it has to be Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Silver Surfer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Silver Surfer's it.
But I do think of Silver Surfer and the FF as being more like Galactus oriented.
They are.
But I mean, I know they fought Thanos.
Yes.
I like that in the sexuality of Marvel Cosmic, you're either like Thanos oriented or Galactus oriented.
That's right. That's right. And I will say the GHL studio is Galactus oriented, as there is a giant Galactus that overlooks us now.
I get comments on it constantly.
Oh yeah?
Anytime it's in the background of a photo, someone's like, oh, that Galactus. And I was like, I didn't bring him into this house.
He is 4 foot tall. I guess we should do it.
Yeah.
Action figure spotlight. We talked about this a long time ago,
But you talked about it when you pre-ordered it.
Yeah, Marvel Legends had a 4 foot tall Galactus, and I have him now.
He's so heavy.
He's so big. He lights up. I've literally like tied him to the wall because I'm worried about him falling over and like killing our cat.
Yeah, for sure.
But he is a big old boy.
He's a big baby.
I couldn't get the little Silver Surfer display to work, so now the Silver Surfer sits in his hand.
I know, they're kind of like buds. It's really funny.
They are buds. And also the way I have it set up, I also have an NX-01 that's like, and I have it set up to where like the NX-01 is flying away.
It kind of looks like Galactus is reaching for it very slowly.
Yeah, yeah. Like the classic green hand of Star Trek TOS. Galactus is trying to like clamp on to Jonathan Archer.
He's like, come here, my friend.
I shall get you. Anyways, you know, Galactus would be an interesting person to put into this role versus Thanos.
Galactus v. Thanos?
Yeah.
Galactus wins.
Well, yeah, of course, 100%.
I thought you were going to say Galactus would be an interesting character to put in the MCU, and I'd be like, yeah, TikTok, guys.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. So Thanos is back.
Yay.
He has machinations brewing, because now he wants...
Machiavellian machinations.
He wants to get all of the Infinity Gems.
Not just one.
And he wants to put them in the Infinity Gauntlet.
He's just stoning his gloves.
Yep. And when he did this, he snapped his finger... And half the population of the universe was wiped out.
Mm.
Now, a big old team of Avengers said, that's not right, Thanos.
And then the Portals music played and they all came out.
Well, this is what that storyline was based on. But it's, you know. But a big old team of like Avengers and cosmic characters came and fought Thanos. And this is the storyline of the Infinity Gauntlet. I'm not going to tell you why, but they won. They won.
Spoiler.
They beat Thanos. And on this cosmic team is a character... that knows Drax and is also connected to this podcast, our good old Mr. Doctor Strange.
Hey, yep. I was waiting for Stevie to show up.
Oh, actually, we have a phone call.
Oh, thank goodness. I was bereft.
You want to pick it up after the next ring?
Yeah, for sure. Hello.
Hello.
Boy, I forgot how loud you are.
Ashley, Dr. Strange here.
Would you like to sing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Is
that good? Yeah, I heard you fought Thanos.
I did fight Thanos, and I knew Drax the Destroyer.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard you were doing, I was intuiting on the cosmic radio. Because remember, I also get to listen to these podcasts early, just like your good old friend, Mr. Tex Willoughby. Mm-hmm. By the way, he keeps contacting me for business opportunities. Can you, tell him
to... Sure can't.
You can't?
No.
This is not possible?
He doesn't listen to no one.
That's going to be... I might have to kill this man.
Honestly, I support this decision.
You support Strange v. Willerman, Dawn of Dustiness?
Yes.
Very well. Anyways, I thought I heard you were doing this podcast on Drax the Destroyer, a person who has been a golem that has been resurrected twice with dark magic.
I don't think he's technically a golem if he has a human body.
Well, I know. I was, reaching for that in term. Anyways,
Brush up on your Jewish mythology. Gah.
Do you know how many mythologies I have to know and keep abreast
of? All of them.
Yes, all 7,832.
Honestly, less than I would have thought.
No, there's not. A lot of them are the same. Most people just change a Steve for a Steven, and that's the only change they make. Or let's say a Zeus for a Jupiter. It's really nonsense.
Yeah.
So actually, once you know one, you know them all.
Yeah.
Pro tip. Anyways, I wanted to tell you about Drax the Destroyer, because I know this gentleman.
Yes.
And where do I even begin? I just want to say, he is a fine specimen of a creature. He's a lovely cloak.
I mean, not as fine as you, Steve.
Well, of course, but he has a great cloak, and I admire that.
You do love a cloak.
But let's just say he's not exactly the brightest star in the galaxy.
Mm.
I mean, this guy's idea of stealth is to cover himself in bright green paint and hope that no one notices him.
Mm-hmm.
And, his choice of weapons is knives.
Mm-hmm.
He is literally flighting people like Galactus and Adam Warlock and Thanos, and his choice of weapon is a knife.
Maybe he was watching a lot of Roger Moore, James Bond, and was feeling really inspired.
That's a very specific reference.
Okay, here, I'll make a more timely reference. Maybe he was watching Mila Jovovich in whatever the zombie movies are that she's in.
The Resident Evil franchise?
Yeah, she's got those cool curly knives.
By the way, I just want to tell you that in Earth, 1633, that the Resident Evil franchise is more popular than the MCU.
You know what? At this point, it's probably more creative.
There are 25 films in the Resident Evil franchise.
In our universe? Or
no, in 1633.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Listen, keep up.
There could be 25 here. I've never seen them.
I think there's like 10. Anyways.
Too many. Correct.
Anyways. I just want to talk about this, man, because I want to talk about why Drax is so dumb.
Oh, no. Are we doing bits?
We are.
How dumb is he?
Oh, you caught on. So we're going to go again here.
This is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Drax is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
I once told him to get lost, and he actually went and got lost in space for a week.
Oh, my God.
Drax is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
He thinks Gluteus Maximus is a Roman emperor.
I feel like I'm at the Friars Club in 1969.
Drax is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
When he saw a drive-thru sign in McDonald's, he drove straight through the building.
What do you think he orders at McDonald's?
Fries. Drax is so dumb.
How dumb is he?
He thought The Exorcist was a workout video.
That's a good one, actually.
But you know what? I'm just going to say, like, all his quirks and his shortcomings, you know, he's a wrestler, like, psychic. He's good. He's a good workout buddy. I'll say that.
Uh-huh.
He's a good workout buddy.
Steven, your roast was so good.
Thank you.
I would love if collectively you could incept into mine and Jason's brain to remember to have you do a roast at the holidays, and we can call it the Christmas roast.
Well, why don't you write down that note literally right now somewhere?
Because that really delighted me.
I bet you have a document somewhere. And maybe you should make a note that maybe this year's holiday special should be a roast. Dr. Stephen Strange's roast
of GHL
of the Marvel Universe.
Ooh.
Maybe that's a good idea.
Ooh.
That'd be a good idea. Maybe I get Kevin Feige to show up again or something like that. Anyways, I just wanted to tell you about Drax the Destroyer. He does have a good physique. I just will say that. Yum, yum.
I mean, not as good as yours.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anyways, my pleasure. Anyways, I will not stay here any long. You know, Ashley, maybe one day I'll teach you something about the Mystical Arts if you're interested as well.
Yes, especially if we can use magical stones.
Is that a reference to something that I don't understand?
The Infinity Gems, and I also like crystals.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's a very specific reference to me.
Yes. Made a lot of specific references that only two people are understanding during this podcast.
Yeah, we're crushing it today.
So, anyways, all right, ta ta, bye bye, hugs and kisses.
Kisses, love you, bye.
Click.
Well, I think, Jason, that was the most pleasant conversation I've had with Dr. Strange maybe ever.
Well, there you go. It was very nice.
He's funnier than I gave him credit for. That delighted me. I hope when our auto-generated little video comes out that it does that bit.
Probably won't.
Because I thought that was
probably won't.
Delightful.
Okay. So Drax
is so dumb.
He's very dumb, right? He's very.
You can also be dumb and be a very good person.
Yes.
It's okay.
He's very dumb, but okay, he's back, right? They resurrected. Cronus has resurrected him.
Guess who's back?
And he was appointed by Adam Warlock and a team of others that included Moondragon, Pip the Troll, and Gamora
to everyone's favorite
to reside on Monster Island to watch over the Infinity Gems to make sure that nobody else got up to any shenanigans with them.
That's a wild sentence you just said.
Yep. And it's also probably the weakest team you could ever pick to guard those
things. Yeah, not a good one.
This team was called the Infinity Watch. Now, Drax at this time was actually, he got a physical power-up, but his mind was actually very infantile from the damage sustained by Moondragon from his last time that
he
was alive.
That's sad. He had like a TBI. It's not his fault.
Yeah. But due to her tremendous guilt, she tries to probe him to see if it triggers any of his memory loss. And eventually something does brew as he vaguely reminds he remembers his death as Arthur Douglas sending him on a blind rampage.
Mm.
And when he does settle down, he has a vague memory that shakes loose.
Mm-hmm.
One that Arthur in his former life loved to play the saxophone. And the sound of the music calms him down immensely. And so Drax is given a sax to play with. And so he's a sense of security. Yes.
Drax
the sax man.
Oh, boy.
And continuously during this time, Moondragon also tries to restore her father's memory. But most of the attempts are failures as he always reverted back to a simple-minded creature. Now, Ashley,
mm-hmm.
What do you think about Drax the Destroyer being a sax man.
I hate it. And every time you say Infinity Watch, my brain slams. Like, I keep thinking that it's like a watch that you would wear on your wrist instead of like a watch where you are like observing or keeping watch for something. No, that's very silly. And it's obviously just done for the rhyme. And I mean, I like bits. I think that's been pretty clearly evidenced today, but I don't approve of this bit. No, thank you.
You don't approve. It's not a bit. It's like they literally gave him a saxophone.
No, I know. But like, it was clearly done as a bit. Oh, like, yes, this was a bit that like whoever wrote this, Jim Starlin, like pitched the editor around the water cooler. And they were like, I don't know if you can make it work. Go for it. Like, it's so silly. Careless Whisper.
Drax
the Sax
Man. I
wish people could see you grooving right now. For the listeners at home, Jason is groovingest most. Little head bobble, little shoulder wiggle.
Yep.
The hair is flowing in the non-existent breeze.
Drax the Sax Man.
Drax the Sax Man. Yeah, the Sax Man.
All right, so now it's time to talk about Annihilation.
Okay.
And I'm going to try to compress this event as much as I can.
Three sentences or less.
Because we have quite a bit. This is going to be a little bit of a longer episode than I predicted, but it'll be fine. Okay.
Let me quote Jason before we started this. This will be a short one.
Nope. So the next time we see Drac, he's aboard a prison ship. And along with Paybok, who was an espionage agent for the Skrull Empire.
Sure.
Now, they're all accused with a bunch of other people called Lunatic and a bunch of characters that doesn't matter. They've all been accused of slaughtering over 200,000 Skrulls.
Uh-huh.
They're being on a prison ship. The ship breaks down and crash lands on Earth, specifically Alaska.
Cool.
There, the convicts make their escape. They band together. They try to survive. And a young girl, human, witnesses the crash. Her name is Cammy Benali. And she stumbles across all of these convicts. Drax confuses Cammy for Heather, his daughter. He thinks that she survived the car wreck without becoming the moon dragon, not the moon wreck.
The moon wreck, yep. Without becoming the car dragon.
Being a punk, Cammy lets Drax believe that she is actually Heather. Aww. And uses that to her advantage.
Oh, that's sad. Drax like was probably not a bright guy and just got one too many hits to the head, really.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, this ends with the prisoners eventually deciding that, you know, we should just kill this Drax guy.
Oh, no.
So they stab him through the head.
Oh, no.
And they dump his body in the river, and Cammy watches it all.
Oh, my God.
And while the prisoners are working to enslave the town and rebuild the prison ship, somehow Drax is reborn.
Yay!
It's not clear how. But he pops out of the ground like a blossom leaf flower, and this time his body isn't quite as bulky, but he's more intelligent, and suddenly he's like, oh, yeah, I like the saxophone.
And like a lotus, he has to emerge from the muck. So it just seems like they contrived they created the weakest possible plot contrivance in order to give him like a slightly more brain power and a slimmed down look.
Well, basically this sets up that now Drax can be automatically regenerated on his own.
Yeah.
So, which might, I can't come into play in an MCU movie very soon.
Yeah,
just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
So, he eventually performs a mind meld with Cammy to catch her up on his lore, and the two team up together to save the town and stop the alien prisoners. Drax basically kills a bunch of the convicts and the rest, and another alien transport ship shows up, and it picks up Drax, and it takes Cammy along with them.
Sure.
So now she's in the universe.
Seems like you could have just left her on Earth.
I think so.
Sure.
Well, then the story wouldn't be as interesting. Mm. Then Annihilation Day arrives. Annihilus, who is an interdimensional insectoid from the Negative Zone and a frequent enemy of the Fantastic Four, he leads an army referred to as the Annihilation Wave. Their goal is to break out of the Negative Matter Universe, claiming territory in the Positive Matter Universe, ours. And they are started by slaughtering millions of worlds.
Sounds pretty negative to me.
Yes. Now, very quickly, right out the gate, they slaughter the planet Xandar, which is the birthplace of the Nova Corps, which is a space militia and exploration division of the planet. Basically,
we actually saw it get slaughtered in the first Guardians.
Yeah, think about like Green Lanterns, not as cool.
Yeah.
Which at the time that happened, Drax and Cammy were being delivered. See, they were prisoners of the Nova Corps. So they remained in custody of the Nova Corps during most of the invasion of the wave. And when the Nova Corps was obliterated, Richard Ryder, who's basically the Hal Jordan of the Nova Corps, survived.
Very much so.
He survived the assault. And Drax and Cammy fled in the mist of all of this chaos. Mm-hmm. Now, basically during this, Richard Rider basically got a power upgrade.
Yeah.
He basically became the supernova. I'm not going to tell you how. It's not important.
He's another character that we will get to eventually. Yeah.
When he fights, he gets this power up and he decides to fight the annihilation wave all by himself. He gets his butt kicked.
Yeah.
And
as one would suspect.
And he crash lands on a planet and he accidentally finds himself on the same planet that Drax and Cammy ran away to.
Oh, isn't that convenient?
Yep. While regrouping, Richard has a tough time assessing his new power set, and Drax rationalizes that he knows what it's like to have a lot of power that compels you to destroy. Mm-hmm. And he kind of helps Richard Rider with his powers. Like, he kind of helps him.
Wow, that's kind of nice,
yeah.
Isn't it?
So for the sake of our lesson, like, let's just get to bullet points of what happens, because this is a major event. I think it spans over 50 issues. It's crazy. Yeah,
and we simply don't need to get into it right now.
Annihilus' ambitions eventually grew large enough that Galactus, again, we're a pro-Galactus household, Eater of Planets, was captured. Thanos joins the ranks of Annihilus in his efforts to decimate the galaxy. Moondragon is kidnapped by Thanos, and Thanos rips off her left ear, sending it to Drax as a message because he knows that Moondragon is his daughter.
He knows that Drax is a big Van Gogh fan.
Mm-hmm. On the planet of Daedalus 5, a universal resistance is formed called the United Front, which is orchestrated by Nova and Peter Quill, the Star-Lord, mm-hmm. to combat the wave. Drax receives Thanos' message. He reveals to Cammy that his involvement in the resistance is only as an attempt to get closer to Thanos and finally kill the guy. Because, again, Thanos died twice, neither time by Drax. And eventually, there's a massive assault launched upon the planet, where an enormous ship harnesses the power of Galactus into a massive weapon for the annihilation wave. While the evacuation happens, Drax takes advantage of the opportunity to get aboard the ship where Thanos is, kill those inside, and he confronts Thanos and punches a frickin' hole in his chest. So for the first time, he actually kills Thanos.
And we never heard of Drax the Destroyer at Marvel Comics ever again because he's completed his character arc.
And with the help of the Silver Surfer, former Herald of Galactus, they set Galactus 3. In gratitude, Galactus sends Drax and Moondragon safely away to the planet while he unleashes his wrath on Annihilus' forces.
Wow.
So, yeah. After the events of Annihilation, Drax ends up becoming a member of the newly formed Guardians of the Galaxy, led by Star-Lord and every character that appears in the movies that we know and love. It's called Corporate Synergy. And he serves the team as the muscle, a brute force that bails them out of tight situations. And first, after this, I want to hear Ashley's thoughts on Annihilation. But first, this. And we're back. Drax is with the Guardians, and the Annihilation wave is over. Ashley, I want to hear your thoughts on Annihilation as a whole, because we didn't cover all of it. You know, do you recommend people go read back? Do you have any favorite pieces of it? Like, why do we like this event?
Wow, it's hard to recommend a piece of it. This event, the reason we like this event is because it does what events are actually supposed to do. Mm-hmm. It's very epic. It feels world-ending. It incorporates a lot of disparate aspects of the Marvel Comics universe in ways that actually make sense, which is very, very hard to do. The main storyline stuff doesn't feel shoehorned in at any point, the way a lot of modern and contemporary events do. And it takes a lot of characters like Drax and like some of these Guardians and Guardian supporting characters and actually puts them at the forefront and lets them achieve something like change and growth for the first time in a lot of ways since they existed. And yeah, I just think it's really cool. And I know that's not a good way to qualify it. I read Annihilation for the first time in maybe 2015, after you first taught it in a significant amount of depth on Geek History Lesson. And it's really good. You can buy some beautiful collections of it in paperback that you can give as gifts. Really, like, it's a great book that you can give to someone with a bit of Marvel Comics knowledge.
One of those might be in our recommended reading.
Wait, what? Do you have like a favorite part that stands out? I think that's a really hard question.
I mean, my favorite part is where they capture Galactus.
Because
I remember when I first read the event, I did not think Galactus was going to be a part of it. So, like, to flip that page and be like, holy crap,
it is
Galactus.
A page turn, yeah. There's some really good double page spreads in this, too. Like, the art is phenomenal.
It kind of just, like, takes all the weird Marvel characters and and really just gives them all purpose. And mm-hmm. it really just like kind of puts them all together and slots them all together in interesting ways against each other. And I will say that that makes sense because before that run, Abbott and Lanning, who wrote
Abnett,
yep. and Lanning, who were the team that wrote that book.
Yeah.
They did what I think one of my favorite Legion of superhero storylines called Legion Lost.
Yeah. It held up as either the best or one of the best yeah. Legion stories.
So they're very good at like spacey sci-fi stuff.
They're also good at an expansive cast where you're like, how do you serve mm-hmm. all of these characters in yep. the same way? Yeah.
But as we said before, in especially for their Guardians of the Galaxy episode, like this is the event that birthed the Guardians that
we
inspired the movies.
Of, yes, yeah, for like, sure.
And they did it about maybe 5 or 6 years before the movie came out.
Yeah.
So, all right. So now Drax is on this team.
Yep.
There's lots of adventures.
Yep.
And during this time, Drax suddenly realizes that, hey, I might be too violent. So he decides to quit the team and he goes and lives on a planet for a while. And, you know, of course, like what happens in every sort of Ronin story that renounces their ways, mm-hmm. you go to the planet, but then there's violence on the planet. And now you come back to being the way you were.
Yeah, you got to like look after the widow.
Same with John Wick. Yeah. Same with Yojimbo. Yeah. It's always that story of like, I give up violence, but then violence finds me. So eventually there is a pressing concern mm-hmm. because there's a new enemy that is trying to collect the all newly named Infinity Stones. Mm-hmm. So now the gems are called stones because at this point the Marvel Cinematic Universe exists and corporate synergy.
And they thought gems, the rumor that I've always heard is they thought gems was too feminine sounding.
That's what I've heard as well. Yeah. So Drax assumes that Thanos is the one after the stones, but it is actually Gamora.
Yes. You may recognize her from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yep. Yeah. Specifically, she wants the Soul Gem. Mm-hmm. In an effort to feed Devondra, the creature that lives within the Soul Gem, it is said that if she devours enough souls, she can weave a new reality. And remember I talked about Soul World, the world that is within the Soul Gem? It is a place of paradise that became imbalanced. And Gamora is deciding to fix this problem by folding every living being into each other, merging souls, effectively cutting down the number of the souls in the universe by half. Sound familiar? It might be why she's the daughter of Thanos.
Yep.
This creates a pocket dimension called Warp World, a world filled with amalgamations. And if you know anything about me, I love amalgamations.
You do.
Such as a combination of Doctor Strange and Captain America called Soldier Supreme.
Yep.
Weapon Hex, who is a combination of X-23 and Scarlet Witch. Arachnite, Moon Knight, and Spider-Man combined. And after creating this pocket dimension, Gamora planned to use Devondra's weapon to create a whole new universe, a universe where there would be no suffering. Now, because this is comic book and comic book logic, Drax already was arguably two souls in one body. Arthur Douglas is the original soul. Mm-hmm. And then there's the soul of Drax the Destroyer himself. And instead of combining with somebody when this event happened, he actually separated into two separate beings.
Mm.
Arthur Douglas and Drax the Destroyer. Now things start to untether as Diamond Patch, the Wolverine Emma Frost combo, also separate.
Yep.
And Emma sends a mental phone call requesting all heroes across the universe that can to fight Devondra. Now Arthur, remember Arthur the human, the sax man.
Oh boy.
Oh, it went away.
It did.
There it is. Arthur, he's chilling out. He's having a good time. Thinking about driving to Vegas again. Enjoying wonderful Burbank.
It's not a nice drive.
Not. Probably why you play sax.
6 hours at desert.
So he is having a good time.
You think he stopped at the alien jerky place?
And in the Soul World version, he has his wife as well.
Yes.
So the sax man decides to take up the call. And Adam Warlock and a group of cosmic magic users use their powers in combination with the Infinity Stones to make a copy of this warp world to exist in its own realm, untethered, so the 616 universe can return to normal, the Soul World can return to normal, and the warp world can be normal as well. In order to keep the portal open between warp world and the regular universe, Arthur and Drax stayed behind to physically hold it open while everybody else returned to their regular universe. And as a reward for doing that, this allows Arthur to live out a full, happy life that was taken with him with Yvette and his non-Moondragon daughter, Heather, in the warp world. And Drax the Destroyer also gets his own happy ending where he is rewarded
With a saxophone.
Oh, yeah. Here, I'm going to teach you how to play the saxophone. Okay, here, Drax. This is the best song to play ever. Here we go. Yeah. I do not understand this song. Shut up, Drax. Yeah. I'm the sax man. Anyways, sax man coming from Marvel Comics soon. So they basically both get happy endings. And for the most part, this is the end of Drax's history without getting into too much recent spoilers. Mm-hmm. Drax does come back eventually, but he comes back as a clone of Drax the Destroyer, with the exact memory and personalities of the previous Drax.
So you can have your ending and eat it too.
Bingo, exactly why. It was an excuse that we could have a Drax on the Guardians, but in reality, the real Drax has yet to come back and is basically living its two perfect endings right now.
Good, let him sleep. He's tired, he's old, just like Captain Picard.
Which I actually like because we rarely get an ending for comic book characters.
With the perpetual second act.
It's kind of a cool thing that he was literally the only character in the Marvel Universe that could have kept this portal open because he was two beings together, which I think is really a cool ending for this character.
I think everyone is pretty knowledgeable that this is probably Drax's last movie, that Dave Bautista's
is done with the
MCU, which is fine. I would love it if he actually got a happy ending. Well, that would be so nice.
So I guess actually now that you know about the sax man, I guess I want to ask you, which version of Drax do you like better? The comic book version or the movie version?
Interesting. The movie version, I think, just is a cleaner distillation of a character. But I really like knowing that this character actually got to go full circle, completed his narrative arc and is just living happily ever after. Like
playing a sax.
That is very satisfying to me for a comic book character. It makes me really happy.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for Drax the Destroyer. Let's get into the recommended reading.
Where Professor Jason is going to recommend some stuff in case you loved this episode on Drax the Destroyer and you need more things to read. You can find these and purchase them in your method of choice at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. We have these posts for every single episode, including the bonus episodes that we've ever released on this feed.
Yeah. So first one is the one and only Drax the Destroyer miniseries.
Yes.
This is the story of the transport that crashed in Alaska and Cammy and stuff like that. This is basically Drax the Destroyer Yojimbo. It's Drax the Destroyer saves this Alaskan town.
Great.
It's very interesting. And then it directly leads into Annihilation. So the ending, you could tell it was the setup, or they were oh, let's tell this quick Drax story. And then that'll explain why he is, where he is
in time for Annihilation. Yep. Yeah.
The second one is Guardian of the Galaxy Volume 1 Cosmic Adventures. Mm-hmm. This is the, not the first Abnett and Lanning Guardians book. This is the Brian Michael Bendis Guardians book that has Iron Man on the team. If you like Guardians of the Galaxy in the movies, this is the best
one.
The
Marvel Now team, yeah.
It's very much. And then lastly, Annihilation, the Complete Collection, Volume 1. This is the massive Annihilation, Annihilus storyline. It is a must read if you like cosmic-y Marvel. Again, go pick it up. And I think there's four or five complete collections, but this is the first one. So read it. If you like it, keep reading and keep going.
You will.
All right. So let's go into the honor roll, Ashley.
Yes, which is where if you go over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and you leave us a 5-star review, we'll read whatever you write.
Mm-hmm. And who is joining the honor roll?
So joining the honor roll today, we have Jericho K93 coming from Apple Podcasts, who says, "Dark magic. You guys are always a joy to listen to, and I'm learning more about my favorite comic book characters. I don't need to use the dark magic." Jason, Doctor
Strange. Is he writing those out? Are they writing those out?
They're writing it all in capital letters.
Oh, nice, nice.
Jason's Doctor Strange is my favorite character.
You're going to like this episode.
And also Tex.
Oh, yay!
So some Tex love. This was written the day after Valentine's Day, so I'm going to say this was a Valentine's Day present for you, Jason Inman.
And for Tex.
And for Tex. And for Stevie. So thank you, Jericho K93. You get your own honor roll today, so you get your own welcome into the teacher's lounge. Professor Jason, what's going on in there? Sax lessons?
Yes, there are sax lessons.
Sax machines?
From Professor, I couldn't remember his name. Professor
Arthur Garville.
No, Professor Douglas is in there. This is a 10-hour loop of this, by the way. 10 hours.
It's for a date night, you know?
Well, if you know, again, Assistant Professor Jeremy Skinner, co-host of the Jason Jeremy podcast.
Yes.
And Catherine Hahn.
Yes, live in a...
Previous guest. They're in a sleeping bag in the corner. They're back.
Uh-huh.
Because of the sax music.
Is their sleeping bag a rockin'?
We don't discuss that. And Professor Douglas is too
much of a gentleman.
He's too refined to ask.
I see. It's just the intro. It's just the royalty-free part.
Just nonstop, baby. Wow. We can't monetize this on YouTube. Woo! All right.
Well, you know, they say the madness is et cetera, et cetera.
Anyways, yes. So if you want to join the honor roll, go over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5.
Or Spotify.
And leave us a 5-star. Are you pulling these from Spotify?
I'm going to start too, yes.
Oh, okay. I don't even know where you can find those. But go do it on Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. Tell your friends if you really enjoyed this episode. That's the best way to grow this podcast. And also, don't forget to download us wherever you can find podcasts. You can find the podcast, Ashley, on social media where?
You can find us at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, on Twitter at GHL Podcast, and on Instagram at Geek History Lesson.
Yes, and this lesson wasn't suggested by anybody, so I just want to give another rad shout out to Diego Nunez, our research assistant, for doing some amazing research on this episode. You can find Ashley on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin. That's J-A-W-I-I-N. And now it's time for hashtag
stick around.
Yes, that's where we make sure you stuck through all the plugs. Ashley, I have an idea. I would love to hear your thoughts. Drax has sort of a happy ending, but they cloned him and they put him as part of the Guardians team. But I actually think a really interesting way to bring Drax back, because his name is the Destroyer, is to make him a villain like he originally was in the Marvel Universe. Like, let's build an event around Drax.
Just call it like the Destroyer.
Make him
the Destroyer Returns.
Make him the Thanos.
That's really interesting.
What do you think? What do you think about this?
I like that.
Yeah. I think it would be a very interesting way to bring the character back.
Would you pitch doing it? Okay, so I'm Marvel executive.
Hi, Marvel executive.
I'm interested in this idea.
Ooh, you're interested.
My main question is, are we going to know and are we going to be marketing from the beginning that this is Drax?
No.
Or is it, it's a reveal?
It'll be a reveal.
Okay, I like that.
Maybe in issue 2 or 3.
Okay, so we can do a whole thing where we tease someone else.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like maybe we will tease that like people out there are just saying the Destroyer.
You know, I like that too, because if we do the comics and then we eventually adapt this into a movie in 10 years, maybe, you know, yeah, Dave's going to want to come back.
Maybe so Dave will want to come back.
Smart bit of synergy.
And let me pitch you the reveal. Iron Man comes into a spaceship. He's been brought into the throne. Let's say that this person has taken over Thanos' army, right? And they have Isaac the computer and sexy robot lady is there. And then
Alicia or something.
We just
like
hear
that.
This person say, "Would you like some music?"
I'm going to work on licensing that right now.
Iron Man's like, what? And then he walks down the stairs with a saxophone in hand. Drax the Sax Man, the Destroyer.
Drax the Sax Man, the Destroyer. That's very funny.
Yes, it's the next. You could call it that. You could just call it the Destroyer. Or you could call it Drax Destroys the Universe.
Ooh, you know, that's kind of good.
Or Drax decimates.
No, destroys.
Destroys the universe.
Because, you know, we have Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So that's kind of similar phrasing.
Yeah. Smart. There you go.
Wow.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this amazing episode. We really appreciate it. This has been Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Green Jeans Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson. And Professor Jason, would you please dismiss the class?
Class, let's love, not destroy. Class dismissed.